Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Well, a corgi, actually.
All right.
Oh, it's always so sweet to have the killer lurking, linering, all of it. Hi, killer.
Hi, Corby.
He actually missed
Hi,
the
boys.
Liner
how
earlier.
Are we?
I did miss it. Missed the liner. The first
We're fantastic.
Liner
it's okay. We all miss except liners. It's all right.
What are you going to do?
Okay, so I'm not familiar with this concept slash race that this guy's describing. But he says if the ticket team had a car in the 24-hour Le Mans,
yes,
which three would be the drivers? Like, I've heard of the 24-hour Le Mans race, but I don't know. Is that what it is? You have
yes.
three drivers?
Well, so so the race is this weekend, this upcoming weekend in Paris. It'll start Saturday and obviously go through Sunday. And it is three drivers that rotate. One of them is usually the main driver, but you are not going to be in the car for 24 hours straight. So you would have three guys kind of break it up. However, and the goal of the 24 hours of Le Mans is to cover as much distance as possible in 24 hours while traversing an 8.4-mile track.
Gordon drives fast. So maybe he gets thrown into there.
Yeah, I think Gordon would be number one because he's kind of fast driver. Mm. He rides your ass.
Reckless.
And he seems really good with mechanical stuff.
Right. He could fix something if it broke and then get
he's
right
back on
the
road. He's got his motorcycle and a variety of other...
Right. He probably knows people, yeah. too.
Like, he knows how to sharpen yeah. the blades on the lawnmower, so...
Donovan drives fast, but if something breaks, he's not going to be able to get anything fixed.
No, I don't think any of us outside of Gordon, and I am doubtful that Gordon, outside of just saying, hey, that's a spark plug,
can do anything about
really
it.
Knows what to do, you know?
Well, I mean, like, we would have a pit crew.
Well, that's true.
Or do, so, we have to do we have to fill out our pit crew from the ticket roster
hire
as well?
Some pit crew guys to do that part, and we'll just get in there and race.
Seeking pit crew guys.
I think Craig drives fast, too. I don't drive fast. Like, I am notorious since I was 16. I just don't care. Like, if I'm going on a road trip and I'm trying to make good time, I'll drive fast. But yeah. I am not a typical fast driver at all. Like, I don't seek that out.
I got a ticket for drag racing in high school.
All right, well,
drag
there you go.
Drag racing?
Yeah, it was such a...
You're just racing your friend.
Yeah, it was a definition. By definition, we were drag racing. He had a Ford Mustang and I was in a Jeep Liberty. And we came off the line like we were going to drag race. We weren't actually racing. The big problem was we were in a school zone, so the cops didn't look too kindly upon that.
You mean during school, like
it was
while
we were
the lights were flashing
school.
In a school zone?
Yeah, they were flashing.
What an idiot.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Travis was like, I don't care about
I was
the
16.
Law.
And we were driving. It was just the middle
Watch
school.
Nuts.
So you didn't have any money because we've already gone over the fact that you didn't work in high school because
Indeed.
Your generation does not work.
Yeah, we're lazy.
Yes.
Yeah, at least you admit it. That's amazing. Yeah.
So your dad had to pay... Oh, my God. Your poor dad that was going to the strip club had to pay for that?
He paid it in ones.
That took away dances, man.
Yeah, I know.
That
I feel bad
wasn't
about
that.
It. No.
I got a reckless driving ticket in high school.
No, I did...
I had to do community service for 20 hours.
I did defensive driving.
Yeah.
My buddy that I was, quote, racing, we took the same defensive driving class. We were both very late for it and both touched triple digits on the way there.
That's all you had to do. When I got reckless driving in high school, I got deferred adjudication and I had to do like 20 hours of community
really?
Service and take a defensive driving
class. See, they just gave us a ticket for going 25 miles an hour over the school zone.
And did your dad almost kill you, Matt?
No, it's funny. He thought it was hilarious because it was me and another friend and we were kind of racing each other and we both passed in a no passing zone. And then we tried when the cop came up behind us, I just cut into a neighborhood and tried to act like I was lost.
Really?
And he pulled my friend over and just stood and waited. And eventually, because it was a T-stop, like I had to go that direction.
He had to go back.
And he was just sitting there and pointed at my car to pull over. And when I got home, it was the first ticket I ever got. I was bawling. I was like, I'm so sorry. My dad's like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, our cop got us both. He pulled my friend over, and as I started to drive past, I was like, ah, gosh, got that guy. He pointed at me, and I'm like pointed to the edge of the road. I'm like, oh, dang it, he got me.
Yeah, my first ticket was in a school zone.
Oh, look at you.
And I was going 28 in a 20, and I got a ticket. And my dad, because, you know, insurance goes up, especially if you're in a school zone. So obviously I took defensive driving, but I don't even know if he knew that that was even an option, and he freaking lit into me like, you do this again and that car is gone, and la 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 la, this $500 car that I bought you is gone.
Man,
my sister's car cost $500, and it was handed down to me. So like basically, 30. It cost $200. Such a piece of crap.
Dude. Yeah, it's good to drive a piece of crap, though.
No,
it is. It is.
My first car.
I heard you guys talking about the Sopranos final show anniversary earlier in the show. Did you guys see the David Chase doc on HBO? Yes. Incredible insight on the Sopranos.
Yeah, so good.
I thought it was. I heard you guys talking about the prequel movie too. I thought that was okay. The David Chase doc, I think, is the best Sopranos side piece thing that there is.
Yeah, there's so much that's been done on it, because they did a tell-all book that came out a couple years that I got and read the whole thing, like one of those, an oral history of the Sopranos or whatever, where they had all these different quotes and stuff. And I love the show, so I've always tried to consume anybody who's been associated with this show, the stuff that they do outside of it, kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit, has been fantastic.
What do you think the best role outside, like from the Sopranos cast, who has had the best role outside of that? Which actor?
Man, that's a good question. It's hard not to say Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Because he was so good in Boardwalk Empire as well.
Imperioli has had some nice roles. He's never been like the main guy, at least not a ton of times anyway.
Who did you say?
Imperioli.
Michael Imperioli.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher.
He was good in White Lotus season 2.
Yeah, he was really good in White Lotus.
What about Edie Falco?
You know what?
She had a longer run as Nurse Jackie than she did as Carmella.
But she's great in everything she's in, too.
Yeah, she is. I enjoyed Polly Walnuts in Family Guy as the other dog.
Polly Walnuts.
What's his name? Tony Sirico.
Yeah, Joey Pants, of course, before he was even on The Sopranos, but he was in The Matrix. I mean, he's been in so many different things over the course of his career that that was one of those guys that when I saw him in Sopranos, because I already knew, was well aware of who he was and the role that he had. For that type of actor to have that type of role, it just seemed was kind of a smaller role.
Why I almost don't count. I don't count Buscemi and Joey Pantaleone, Pantaleone or whatever.
Side notes there.
They were, but I mean, their impacts were huge in the show.
Yeah, and it was always, it's probably unfair, but anytime you saw James Gandolfini in something after that, before he died, because he was in like Zero Dark 30, had a role in that. It's just so jarring to see a guy who's that iconic as a character play something that is nothing whatsoever like that.
I know I know the incorrect answer is Drea Di Matteo. She has not had the best career.
She was in Sons of Anarchy.
She's also in OnlyFans.
Sons of Anarchy was solid.
She was in Joey. Remember the Friends spinoff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go over very well.
It's weird.
My dad always said that the hardest guy for him to accept as some other character was Carol O'Connor, Archie Bunker.
But even in, In the Heat of the Night?
In the Heat of the Night. He did that longer than he did the other role. So, I don't know. I could never buy Tony as anybody else.
Like, Julianna Margulies was in The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that. David Strathairn was in The Sopranos.
Have you seen Lorraine Bracco lately?
Yeah.
She's gone full gray. She looks beautiful, but it's shocking.
She's in a new movie
with Vince Vaughn.
Someone playing
Netflix.
Grandmother, but yeah. I mean,
the
she's
Nonnas.
That age. She's like,
it's,
yeah.
Netflix
Nonnas.
Was like, let's do an old lady movie and we'll get Vince Vaughn to get in here and do his shtick. It'll be awesome.
Oh, I just saw, what's her name? Annabella Ciori, or however you pronounce her last name.
God, she was so hot.
Yeah, she was. She was in the last season of Tulsa King. And I was like, man, is that the hooker that Tony was, the car dealership girl that he was? And I was like, it is her. Man, she ended up offing herself because Tony wouldn't leave Carmella for her.
Yeah.
I was like, what did you think was going to happen?
Right. Let's see. Bob had his anniversary dinner last night. Tim says, I had mine last week. My wife doesn't like steak, and so I can never go to a nice steakhouse for an important dinner. He says, I got married later in life, and really that's the only nice restaurants I ever ate at, steakhouses. So now I struggle with where to go. Does anyone else deal with this?
No. Yeah, no, steak's literally my lady's favorite food.
But so. A lot of the times if we go, like when we went for our anniversary dinner, we went to a place that had steak that you could have got a really nice steak, and she didn't get steak.
Really?
Like, she likes steak.
Would
but
you just
she,
get, like, a chicken breast or something?
I don't remember what
you can get fish.
Got.
Like, there's not a steakhouse in town, right, that doesn't have a fish option?
Right.
Am I wrong?
I mean, most of them have a lot of stuff on the menu, and then they just have their selection of steaks. Like, I don't know any steak restaurant that just has slabs of steak.
Right.
Right.
They'll all do a burger, or they'll do chicken, a pork chop. They'll do, you know, something on the side.
Oh, right.
That's different. Some pasta, something maybe.
I mean, yeah, she got meat because she got rabbit. That's what it was.
Rabbit?
Yeah, I was trying to remember what it was.
Oh, you went to Tim Love's, didn't you?
Sure did.
Rabbit?
Yeah.
They do. They got rattlesnake and
Yeah. Elk we had elk and some rattlesnake and some boar.
Like little rabbit?
Yeah, like a foot.
Little,
yeah,
you eat it like a wing.
We also had some kangaroo.
Raid the forest and bring back all the creatures and eat them.
Dude, do you guys have rabbit problems in your neighborhoods?
Yeah, we had a
problem. We have
in our yard.
So many rabbits. And used to, we've lived here for a really long time, and used to the coyotes would kind of take care of that. Dude, they are, I guess the phrase F like bunnies, like that's really a thing.
I guess so, man.
Real.
They are everywhere.
And I saw two of them in my front yard yesterday running around.
We have big rabbits and big turtle problems. I swear once a week I have to wait for a turtle to cross the road.
But why is it a problem? Like, what do they do? I mean, rabbits, I guess, would eat if you had crops, if we were in
the prairie. Yeah, if you have a garden, they destroy your garden. Yeah,
if you had a garden.
Well, yeah, we've got,
I kind of like them.
Yeah, they're neat.
What do they do outside of that? If you don't have a garden, what would be the...
Procreate.
Like, if you see them in your backyard and you just have grass, are they eating grass?
Yeah, but... Nothing.
Yeah, they're not like a goat.
I don't think they're like ruining your yard.
Right. Yeah. Like, what's
they're not like gophers.
Like, what are turtles going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Turtles are great.
Turtles are perfectly
like,
fine.
If I had turtles and rabbits in my backyard instead
We're
of
happy.
Possums and snakes, I would take that trade.
Yeah, I want to get rid of the snake in the backyard, right. But every rabbit and every turtle, more than welcome. Come on over.
Agree. Agree. Let's see. Small market teams have won the NBA titles and MVPs in the NBA for years and years. San Antonio, Denver, Milwaukee, etc. So why do people think it's bad for the league if two small market teams play each other?
Well, according to the ratings, it would show that it is.
I know, but like in the end, so when San Antonio was winning those titles, I mean, I know the ratings were terrible, but in the end, who cares?
Right. Like, it doesn't affect their bottom line. I mean, it really doesn't because these TV deals are not, it's not as if whatever ABC ESPN is going to go, oh, Indiana and Oklahoma City, you got to give us back $50 million.
Right. Like, they're not going to take the big NBC mega deal that they just.
Now, it may hurt for advertisers. I mean, it may be one of those things where they have to do some make goods based on, I mean, and
sure,
who knows what the language of what they promised as an average audience was.
That doesn't mean anything to the NBA.
No, and I don't think it means anything as a fan, too. Like, I think of it as, okay, so do people in L.A. and San Francisco and Boston and Chicago and New York, do they look at this and say, I'm not going to watch because it's two teams from tiny markets?
I bet there is a portion of those audiences that do treat it that way.
I think
but they
a lot
have,
of,
okay, they have the best player in the league on one team.
But do they know
And
that?
It's an unquestioned great team. And the other team just ran through half the cities I just mentioned.
It is bad when two of them get there. Not bad for the league necessarily, but there are fan bases that are not going to watch based on Indiana and OKC. And that's all they know about those teams is that they exist in those cities and they're above those cities.
But for 25 years, you know, San Antonio had Duncan.
Right.
Denver has Jokic. Milwaukee has Giannis. Like, it's...
And I bet those early Spurs years were treated a lot differently than the late ones.
In what way?
In just that it's a known commodity at that point versus the first few years. Who are these guys? Where is San Antonio and who cares?
Yeah, that's probably true. I look at it like anything else. I mean, if in the college football national championship, if like TCU that year would have played, you know, Rutgers or something. I'm still watching the game. I'm not going to be like, bleh, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's harder for us because we're such dedicated sports fans. Casual fans are not.
Right.
And I think casual fans is what we talk about when we talk about whether it's small market or not the helmet teams or what have you. Of yeah. casual fans who, oh, I know the New York Knicks. Oh, Los Angeles, they must be good.
Well, and then there's also
Oklahoma City has a team.
The first two games have been the lowest rated finals since the bubble series, but also the highest rated thing on TV in the last month. So right. it's a balancing act. TV is down, not sports.
Right. All right, boys.
All right, Corby. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Corbo.
See ya.
You bet.
Good stuff.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.